sure. Asking you, my God, that you grant mercy to us in this hour, that you will be to us, so that we can know the things are surely given to us of God. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help us, and we'll be very careful to give you all the praise and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on to number 3, the future home of the earthly bride, and I trust the Lord will help us, because there's so much good material here we are starting into. Not that we haven't had it's already hooked in, we just use this one door, except I have to turn around here in a minute or two. Oh, you got something anyway. Maybe that's the devil squealing. Brother Branson, we have his number. Now, in presenting this subject, Brother Branson will let it be known that he received his necessary knowledge, which was required for this message supernaturally, by the Holy Ghost leading him into the Scripture. Now, you remember he told us how that he got a thought in prayer, and then he would begin tracing it through the Scripture to see that it was one with the Word. So when he presented this subject, he let us know that he'd received what he needed to know in the supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost in the Word of God. We therefore contend that this is a part of the revelation of the seven thunders under the seventh seal, and is a part of the necessary truth of the restoration by Elijah. Now, there again, this will evoke controversy in those who do not follow what we believe, but this is a part of what is to be known in this hour, and it is a part of our redemption in this particular area. Because remember, there is no way that one is going to get out of this earth here except certain scripture be put to one side by something that God has already foreknown that he would do in order that the people would not die but would be walking into eternal life. Now, a mysterious part of this subject was the question as to how God would dissolve the old heavens and earth and create new ones. And the answer was that the heavens and earth were not literally annihilated, but that it was the atmospheres, Brother Bannon called atmospheres in the plural, and that which was upon the earth that was burned up, thus ridding the entire world of all sin and all the consequences of sin, even to evil spirits themselves. All noxious and toxic material would be destroyed. There would be no germs or weeds or thorns, nothing that could hurt or ever upset creation again. Everything would be in perfect harmony. Satan himself will be annihilated. However, even if he were here and not annihilated, he would have nothing to work with or work upon. That's what Brother Branham said in the millennium. He's bound with chains of circumstance. But later on, he's actually destroyed. Now, in order for Brother Branham to present this, his understanding of this great event, he pointed out that what God was doing was that he was redeeming the earth in exactly the same way or manner he redeemed any part of his redeemable creation. Now, all creation is not redeemable. One, in the days of Noah, he sent the flood, which was certainly typical of water baptism. Two, then when Jesus died, his blood fell upon the earth, which is typical of cleansing by blood. That has to do with sin, particularly. And three, now the fire will come and finish the work, so that then the final work of God can come into being. Now, these three works are identical for human redemption, such as water, blood, and spirit. The water, blood, and spirit is the exact sequence of life as it comes in the Word. Brother Matt spoke that the woman carrying the child, the water breaking, then the blood, and then the spirit coming into the child of life. Again, there were three great eras and three great works under Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Luther brought justification, Wesley sanctification, a Pentecostal of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now restoration, which is number 4. It has started, as we saw in Revelation 22:10-15, the opening of the seals, and getting ready for the entering into immortality, which immortality we saw also given to us through the tree of life back there in Revelation 22:1-2. I think we better read those so we get the picture a little more carefully, because repetition, especially of Scripture, is just very, very essential to us. So 22:10-15. And he said, "Seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, be righteous still. Holy, holy still." And so on. You can see the dividing line there. There is no recourse. That's why we look at this as the white throne judgment. "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give a man according to where it should be." At that particular time of the separation, He has not yet come. There's not a coming. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, not do his commandments. That's not true. They wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, already, you've had a complete revelation right up to the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. And this is thrown in here from the interpolation of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. This is what takes place when the mighty angel comes down with the prophet of God on earth. Now watch. And he showed me a river, 22, 1 to 2. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, what we're looking to is seeing the final work that's done upon earth. And before we will take this over, New Jerusalem, the fire must have fallen, and the earth and the atmosphere being completely recreated, even as we, after the baptism with the Holy Ghost, go into the ground and are dissolved into ashes, gases, and you name it, come back in a complete resurrection of the whole thing. So you can see here the picture Brother Branham is trying to deal us is that God works in the same identical manner all through redemption. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be the human race. It can be nature. It can be the earth. It can be the skies. It does not matter. Now, with this, Brother Branham brought to our attention that all of redemption is by God at a price, that a price had to be paid. It wasn't just something that fell in line, something that was settled in the mind of God as a plan that eventually worked out, but it was something that was paid for, and that's something to remember and never forget it. But now, he brings out the fact that Satan tried to give the kingdom to Jesus Christ, and Christ refused it. Instead, he bought it all back, and by his shed blood, and will one day take it all over as he has said he would. So we're going to go to page 18, and we'll start at paragraph 82, then we'll start moving into what Brother Branham is bringing us in this message. Satan tried to say, "I'll give it you." He said, "No, sir, I'll buy it. Let it be a witness." He was lifted up for an ensign that he bought it. He purchased it. But now it has to go through a baptism of fire, holy fire from God, which cleanses the earth and the heavens round it before he takes it over. See, doesn't want it under the present conditions. Then it's purchased so that the redeemed can live on it, live in it in peace. Now, they haven't had peace for 6,000 years. Notice, the baptism of fire is to cleanse it from sin, from sickness, from disease germs, from sinners, from the devil and all of his group. He's to be cast out into the lake of fire. Holy fire from God comes down from heaven, out of heaven, and burns it up to make it ready for God to dwell in. Now notice the parallelism of the redemption of God and the human being. See? For God in the new world that is to come is to dwell in the earth. That's exactly right. He's going to come right down here and dwell with us in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And of course he would disincarnate himself at the time of the New Jerusalem's institution of government, where Brother Branham said the Lamb will be on the throne, which is above the pyramidal city of 1,500 miles wide and high, and the pillar of fire will be over it. So God's going to come in this earth and dwell here, and that's exactly where he intends to stay. Now, no doubt he's here in the dimension. He dwells in the human heart. But he and the bride become one, and they go to their home in the new world. The same plan of redemption is used to redeem both worlds and the persons that live in it. So, we have a oneness that is coming up. We have a oneness that we have now because we're one through the Word. And we've already had a oneness by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is our sealing into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you see really is what God had in his mind as omniscient being, and then beginning to implement as omnipotent being, all now coming to the final end where what he had in this particular section, because he may have many sections, I don't know, But with this particular one, dealing with this particular redemptive plan that he had, it's going to come into a full being, and the emphasis on the complete oneness, as it was all one with God, because nobody was there but God. See? All there lay the ability to project this. Now, having gone through these processes, the oneness is complete in a manifested form. So what you're looking at, as Brother Branham said, is the constant going from the negative to the positive, the constant oneness. So, and him coming down here to dwell in the earth. So if people can't see what we're teaching from what Brother Branham taught, I think they need to further study. Now you're catching what I'm saying. Churches are preaching what out there where we're preaching here. Now there may be some. There's got to be some. But they're not understanding what we're understanding. Now we're not proud about it, but I'm going to keep letting you know that. Because look, it's the only way you're going to get out of this world is to know these things, because this is a part of restoration. See, God is really restoring himself to the people. It was God who made reconciliation. We should have made the reconciliation. We should have been the one tendering toward God. And man is always tender toward God, and he's always loused up. Now, if you don't want to be loused up, you let God do it all. And the greatest gift is to learn to get out of the way. We saw the prophet having it. So, all right, we're coming more and more into this unique oneness. Now, that unique oneness where the church started at Pentecost in that day. Now, it's in our day. Now, at the white throne, now, why at the white throne? What, he said, you'll know I'm the Father, and you and me, and I and you. Because at that time, the separation is not only total, it is absolute, in that that which was is no longer. You're looking at annihilation. Every plan my Father has not planned is finished. Every thought my Father hasn't thought is gone. You're into this unique oneness. And the unique oneness is going on now by reason of this word. Now, I know the world's not going to take it, but if Brother Branham was that prophet we believe he was, then let me assure you, this has to be the truth that I'm telling you. You're not getting some loused up theology and something which is a myth. Now, see, the heart has to be cleansed like that. Before, now talking about what's happened to the earth now. Before God can come down in the person of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ coming down to dwell in the human heart, that person must be repentant. He's got to repent. Then he must be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ to show who he belongs to. Now that's the witness. Then it must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's true. Repent. Be baptized. Then the holy fire and the Holy Ghost from God comes down and burns out all the desire of sin, all the nature of the world. And I'm going to read this all through one time. And therefore he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, then... Again, the Bible said it's impossible for a man that's born of God, because he cannot sin, he does not sin, there's no way for him to sin. How can he be a sinner and a redeemed at the same time? How can I be in the pawn shop and out of the pawn shop at the same time? Oh, he redeemed us by his blood, by his spirit, he reclaimed us, then comes to dwell in us, the church, not denomination, now the church. Now, what you're looking at here is like Brother Branham has made a contradiction here. He's going along here preaching how that the desire of sin is gone and all that hates the world. And then he says, and therefore he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Now it sounds, he has to cut himself short here, because actually this is an interpolation that does not belong there. Although it is very, very true. Why? Because he in the Holy Spirit knows that he is an ordained, vindicated prophet who says this message here was given him supernaturally as part of the seventh seal of the seven thunders. And he's saying, you reject this, you haven't got the other. No matter how far you think you've come, no matter how much Holy Ghost you got, talking tongues and everything else, absolutely, it's out. See? Because he goes on right away to correct it, he should leave this out. Leaving it out, he said, God comes down, all the nature of the world is gone. Then, it tells you from that point, the Bible said it's impossible for a man that's born of God to sin. He does not sin. There's no way for him to sin. How can he be a sinner and redeemed at the same time? Now, this is not simply an argument. See, otherwise you've got people going back and forth. I'm Armenian, I'm legalist, I'm a Calvinist, and therefore you're going to have a fight. There is no fight to this. This is a categorical statement. How can I be in the pawn shop and out of the pawn shop at the same time? Oh, he redeemed us by his blood, by his spirit, he cleansed us, and then he came to dwell in us, the church, not the denomination now. The church. See? Now, he's talking about the true church, not the ungodly church. Okay. Let's go back and examine this. And therefore, he that sins willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Anytime God does the real supernatural, such as the great healing meeting, there's got to be a new message come forth. And the other messages in the life has gone out of them. All right. The life has gone out of everything but this message here. There is no word outside of this word that has any life in it. So, let's go to the Bible where Brother Branham talks, uses this scripture. They that sin willfully. So we got to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And every priest had a daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, ever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, said the Lord, I put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now there's no offering for sins that are past. It's all over. See, now you got to have something that takes you from the blood, based on the blood. And that goes from the intermediary, the intercessor, the intermediary that brings you in, to the intercessor that keeps you in, all based upon the blood. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, or dedicated for us, through the veil, that's to say, flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to the promise, and let us consider one another to provoke, to add us, to begin to excite unto acts of love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now this is an end time message concerning the blood of the covenant and the mediator of his own blood covenant. Because as you see the day approach. So as I said the other day, don't anybody ever talk about the blood as though it's out of style or off the mercy seat as a brother man and meant something, the blood doesn't count. If it weren't for the blood, nothing would count. Because you're looking at redemption. See? Now we're going to get feisty. We're going to get feisty about that one. I'm a pretty feisty guy about a lot of things. So much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now look at it, it's telling you, the mediatorship of Jesus Christ, based upon the blood, giving way to intercession. You haven't got a prayer if you turn down light during the time of intercession. You follow what I'm saying? Look at it. See, that's what we base upon all our preaching here upon Brother Brown's message. For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law, not the blood, but the law. What Moses gave. He said, shut up, fat mouth. Who do you think you are? We got prophecy in our midst. We can prophesy too. We're of the Levites. Who are you to think you can tell us what to do? You got the same thing right here. God sent a Luther. Catholic, shut your mouth. God sent Wesley. Lutherans and Catholics, shut your mouth. He sent Pentecostals. Wesleyans, Lutherans, Catholics, shut your mouths. Now he sent William Branham, who's shutting their mouths. Now, how much sore punishment should be opposed if he thought worthy of trodden underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant sanctified and holy thing and done death with the Spirit of grace? How can you do despotute except by turning down the word? Come on, bring your scripture together. I know they're going to quote that and say, well, the whole thing was they turned down the blood. Oh, fat kid. There's not a Protestant or Catholic turns down the blood. But the Catholics got a bunch of saints and whodunits in there. The Protestants are plumb off the word, much as the Catholics are. Look at the truth here, brother. See, that's what you're up against. Then Paul turns around and says, why do you think I'm in bonds and so on here? All right. Now, the 20th. God is the Spirit of grace. For 30th verse. For we know that know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. Now when did God judge those people that mouthed off? He judged them by fire. And you know what? Their senses were not burnt up. Showing that the gifts of the Spirit are genuine. But the people using were phony. The gifts are still here, if you can find them and use them. Still got too many phonies. Now watch. The Lord will judge you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All right, now with that, 26th verse was this. For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now listen, Jesus Christ died for Israel. For every single one the atonement was made. But they turned down the word of truth concerning it. Therefore the blood covenant was gone. The mediator was gone. The intercessor was gone. It was all gone based upon the acceptation of what God did or what God purported to have done, which we know God did. As the Bible said, who hath believed our report? The report was not believed. All right, with that verse in mind, we go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, because this is the end time. For it's impossible for those, verse 4, those who are once for all enlightened, no more enlightenment, and have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You know positively, that's Matthew 12. And have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away. It's impossible, neither intent, seeing they've crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put an open shame. Now, by turning down an end time message, they have literally crucified the Son of God, whom they say was already crucified, and shed his blood. Now, how can you do that? Stand before God justified. See, that's why he throws it in there. Now, let's go further. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that falleth cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth earth meat for them, but whom it just received blessing God. Now, what is the rain in the Bible? The rain is word. It's what it is. And that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And it's neither cursing, which envy burned. That's Matthew 7. The false prophets, the false teaching. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now, he's telling you right here, so I'm going to tell you what. He said there's a tiny, tiny minority that's going to get this, and the rest are going to flunk it. He's talking to some people who are going to get it. Okay, with that, we're going to read Revelation chapter 22 again. They should put this in the light. Which, although we seem to be brighter than ever. And he said to me, seal not the sayings, verse 10 of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. The unsealing of Revelation 10 and 4. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy still, righteous still, and so on, right down. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and enter through the gates into the city. Now, through the gates into the city, I am the door of the sheepfold. You cannot come in through Christ except through verse 10. What follows? Otherwise, you think you're going to get in, you won't get in. Can't do it. The sheepfold is New Jerusalem. Don't try to kid me. I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's the sheepfold. How do you get in? By Christ. Christ the seals. If you don't come in, then Brother Branham said everything's so perfectly true, it just takes 150 years to find out. I don't expect, if I'm supposed to be here teaching and helping the people understand this work, I don't expect to get out at least another 55 years. To be honest with you. Because these things only break through inspiration. And see it here in the Bible. You can't get it. I don't care. I could ask God for this a million times. God wouldn't show it. He just breaks the inspiration. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. For the minute. So you can see how this all comes together as we've never seen it before. And that's the secret of it. It's to know the word of Almighty God for our day. All right. He says here, how can you be a sinner and be redeemed at the same time? What did he say? The judge say to us. He said, you're the spotless, righteous, virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and didn't do it at all. Not the church. That's the old church, the denomination. That's us. Chapter 85. Now, notice now as we take this, speaking the places where to dwell in. Now, they're talking about the place where to dwell in. Listen closely. The antediluvian repentance that brought water baptism. Then Christ came and shed his blood upon it to cleanse it and claim it. What then comes the next? The destruction of the world as it is now. Remember, there's three times. The original world, the flood world, which we have in order now waiting for the new world. In other words, since the flood, nothing has changed. Then Christ came and shed his blood upon to cleanse and claim it. Not just cleanse it, but claim it. See? Then comes the next destruction of the world as it is now. All the sin that's in the heavens above, he's the prince of the power of the air. He wards off the blessings from God. He keeps them away. In there comes thunderbolts and lightning and strikes the earth. Everything from the heavens. Sheets of ice and rain and typhoons and storms. Everything comes from above, which is from Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Now that's proved by Job. First chapter of Job. Job sent the whirlwind, he sent the fire, and sent this and that, and the thunderbolts and all. Read it yourself. Job 1 to 22. 86. Notice. See how Satan tried to take it. As I said a few minutes ago, by giving it to Jesus without buying it. Then Satan still has the claim because it's earmarked. See? But Jesus buys it by his shed blood and brings it back to the rightful owner. That's how he bought us by his blood and how he bought the church. Now, who really is the rightful owner of this world? We are. It was given to us. We got rid of it. So it's really ours. Tricked out of it. So Christ becomes the scapegoat. As though he was the one that done the tricking. So he takes all the blame and gets it back to us. Now it's in God's hands because he is the rightful owner by creation. Man forfeited to Satan. So God's got to get it back and give it to man. All right. If Jesus had let Satan give it to him, in no wise could God have sanctified it. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Let me get what I want here. I wrote a scripture down. We'll see if it works. 13 and 12. Wherefore, Jesus also he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered without the gate. All right. Now, you know that all things are sanctified by blood. So, therefore, Jesus Christ, in order to bring the earth back, had to have a process of redemption, a process of cleansing, and he did it by his blood. All right. 87. And now its baptism of fire cleanses from all germs, all diseases, all sickness, even all spiritual things, which is by us too. It does the same way. That's what the blood and the fire does. To make it ready for God to dwell in this great age to come, the new earth. See, he redeems it the same way he does his people. He makes it all just the same, his plan of redemption. For he is the unchangeable God, always the same in his plan. In other words, all that can or is to be redeemed comes in this one way and no other way. How I've told you before and make it known to you again. By all ages, God cannot change. Makes it known every time by the same way. He made it known, his first message, in the antediluvian word, by Noah the prophet. That takes us to Hebrews 13 and 8. Genesis chapter 18. God always brings the word by the prophet. Now, people don't like to believe that. So when a prophet comes, they repudiate him. But you must remember it just the same. Hebrews 13:8. Yesterday I was talking to a dear brother who is sitting present with me now. He said, one thing you said, Brother Branham, always shook me. I said, what is it, brother? He said, here's what you said, and it's true. The minority, how a little group is going to be saved in the days of the coming. And we talked of how Jesus said, straight is the gate. Narrow is the way, but there'll be very few that'll find it. Sure, because that's a battle of the mind. Now notice, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved by water, so shall it be in the coming. The brother said, remember, there's only eight souls there. I said, you just got half the picture. Noah was the type of the remnant that carried over, not the translated bunch. Enoch, one man, went in the rapture before the flood came, showing that the church does not go into the tribulation or anything around it. Enoch was translated one man. Oh, the church may be a great number, but the bride is going to be a very small group that'll make up the bride. Now, the church may be a great number, but the bride, you see, compare eight with one. Now, listen, is this a categorical statement? Now, listen, get your attention up and don't fall asleep. Eight times less will be the bride than the church. I'm going to narrow it right down. Is that categorical? All right, Noah. Noah was the only perfect man genetically in the entire generation. One out of eight. Go a little further. If he was the only one left genetically perfect, it is absolutely sure that Enoch was genetically perfect. He represents the rapture. So now you've got one out of nine. So therefore your percentage is 11% to 12% of an entire group that are going to have any salvation at the end of time. So it's 5 billion people in the world. And there's not 1 billion Christians. How many Christians are those who are truly born again? With the Pentecostals leading the band race and influence all denominations and they're false and anointed, how many are true believers? You can figure when Brother Brandon says 700 or 800 might be in a bride, that's a pretty good guesstimate. Sounds very close. The bride is the least. Now, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? If seven more out of eight of the whole caboodle, very, very few of them now, are going to make it after and during the tribulation come up later on, what about the sinner and ungodly that we looked about here that turned all this down? Not a chance. Not a prayer. Billions will die of serpency. Those who know better to do it and go ahead and do it anyhow, and I was referring back to what he said up here, those that sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, see, those who know better to do it and go ahead and do it anyhow, those who follow the rules of denomination instead of the word, where will they appear at? The judgment, white throne, already going on. And no recourse. See? How can you have recourse in a court of law when they've caught you red-handed? When the judge himself was there and saw it. How's it going to be? You haven't got a prayer. It's white thrown out. See? Look. The corpse has been dead a long time. They're just waiting for the burial. Yet called Christians taking the name of Christ and taking it in vain. All right. I want to read the next two paragraphs together. Now, Noah was a perfect type of those carried over. Remember, when Noah came out, Ham was with him. Sin was still in there. In the carryover in the ark. Sin went right on over the ark. Unbelief, doubt, went over in the ark, carried above the judgment, but Enoch went higher than the ark. No double jeopardy. He went on into the presence of God, but Noah went through and came out, and there was still sin, type of the millennium of the world's condition. Why is there still sin there? Because the resurrected dead are coming up. And all they do is change their bodies and their geography. So they're going to try to get rid of God. Just like they're doing now. So sin carries over. The millennium is not the end of it. There's still time after the millennium. And I hear brothers preaching 2,000 years. Out of it, 2,000 years is 6,000. Where he gets information, I don't know, and I care less. I'm not going to preach it here. I know the word in the Greek is millennia, which is plural. Where do you go from there? Where the prophet took it. He said, time goes on. That's it. Forget it. The minute you try to speculate and formulate some truth without the prophet of God's other attesting statements, you got a problem. Well, I don't want that kind of problem here. It takes too much restudying. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation and see that. He's typing here Noah and Enoch. Enoch took a higher level. See? And notice, before the flood, there had to be, he that is righteous still, he that is filthy still. And Noah got away. And entered into the gates, come into Christ. So therefore now, Enoch has got away. He's in the higher level. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He's secure. Now you got to come back and see that there's anything wrong with anybody. But he'll be in the throne, judging with the one on the throne. So now these are being judged. So let's take a look at this in Revelation 19 to see the coming back. Sin going over and so on. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he that judge and make war. He's already judging, he's still judging. He make war. His eyes a flame of fire, his head to many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Then how are we going to know it? And he's clothed the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Well, he's got a name no man knows, but he's called the Word of God. The armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierce and wrath of Almighty God. He hath his vesture, and on his thigh, name written, King, King, and Lord of Lords, and saw an angel stand the sun, and cried with a loud voice, saying, all the fowl that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves and suffer the great God, that we may eat meat, the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, both bond and free. Free and bond, and both small and great, and saw the beast and the kingdom of earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat in the horse and against his army. And that's Armageddon. That's just before the 1,000 years opens up. And the beast had taken him into the false prophet, wrought mirrors with him, which we deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, and both cast alive into the lake of fire burning brimstone. Now you can see right there that that's all this Pentecostal bunch at the end time had an anointing on them. Turned down the word of God. Because they're the leaders. The captive church has been sucked into lock, stock, and barrel. And the remnant were slain with the sword of them that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now we keep reading. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand, laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which the devil and Satan bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and was shut up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nation, and the more of 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. See? And I saw thrones that he sat upon judgment given in the earth, and I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God which did not worship the beast. Now that's for the full 2,000 years. Neither his image nor had received his mark upon the foreheads, for in their hands they lived and reigned in Christ 1,000 years, and they weren't organized. But the rest of the dead live not again of 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. That first resurrection has already taken place, the second coming up. Blessed and holy see that part in the first resurrection that sets the second death of no power, but they'll be priests of God in Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. They're not going to be judged, they're judged. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And should go out to deceive the nation which is in the fourth quarter of the earth, Gog and Magog gather together the battles, and I'm going to be the sands of the sea. There you are. Then it says here, and they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down heaven from God out of heaven and devoured them. And they cast into the lake of fire, going to be destroyed. So you see what you're looking at here. Brother Branham paints the picture perfectly. All right, paragraph 93. Notice in that, we'll get to it after a bit. See, the earth redeemed. Now, goes back to its original owner again. Now that's after the water, the blood, and the cleansing. And it's going to be put in service for God, with God right there in the middle of it. For it says they shall serve him day and night. Yeah. They're in there. He took it from Satan. He took the earth away from Satan, just like he took you away from Satan. Just like he took the little woman at the well away from Satan. There stood the priest, thought he was with God, and yet he had nothing. Thought he was in God's pocket, see? I'd like to draw on that just for a moment. How much tape we got? Time we got? Bill, watch your tape there. Got plenty down? I'm going to use the blackboard a bit here. Now, notice in that, we said we're going to talk about it. There was a woman, there was a priest. Now, we want you to get this real clear. Watch close on this teaching. Now, this here is God. Now, he's going to be drawing. Let's read it. God, which is the eternal and all alone. There is no one but him. That's right. But in God he had attributes. Now this here represents the Word of God, which was made flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus. Now this here fellow here, we're going to make him like this. Now this is called the woman at the well. This is the priest Pharisee. And where you see this open blackboard means grace and salvation. Now in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The three stages. It was an attribute first. Was God that he thought. It was an attribute first, was God, that he thought of himself as being human. That's the first attribute God had. He wanted to make himself into the form which we would take. And that transmitted him down to Jesus. He took on human flesh. And now, if you'll ever be there, you were with him then. For there's only one form of eternal life, that's God. Now, you had to be a part of God at the beginning. Not what you just chose down here. He chose you. All the Father has given me will come. Now, look at this priest here. We find his bottom part here, his back life back behind him, his predestination back here is sinful. Here's hell down here. Now, this little part in here looks like the blackboard that represents the purity. He was a priest. He was an normal man that represented this. He had to be a good man, or he couldn't be a priest. But you see how he got it, with intellectual learning. Now, that's all he had, was a priesthood. Now, this little woman, her first life up here, she was a prostitute. She was all marred up, but way down in here, just a little bit of understanding. And she knew when Messiah would come, that's all she knew. Notice, when Jesus came and manifested the Word, because the Word discerned the thought that was in the heart, as Hebrews 4:12 says he would, and just today, true Brother Branham, the Word was a discerner of the thoughts of the heart, and he came as the Son of Man, the prophet. What happened? The priest with only intellectual learning said he's a devil, because that's what his denomination called it. That's all he could do. What did he do? He had no representation, so it blacked him out. But this little woman had nothing to present. She was filthy and dirty as she could be. But notice, way down here she got representation. And then she was looking for this to be made flesh. And when he said, go get your husband, come here, she said, I don't have any. He said, you said the truth because you had five. And the one you got now is not yours. You've had five and make six you had. She said, sir, you're not Beelzebub. I perceive you're a prophet. Now we know Messiah, which is called Christ, will come. When he does, he'll do this. He said, I'm he. No more doubt. You can't explain. Now, you can't explain revelation. You can't give a revelation. Now, you can't explain to the extent that explaining a revelation, the person will get it. But if you already got something by revelation, then it helps to be taught about it. And that's where I stand. You can't explain a revelation. There's no way you can be. It comes or it doesn't come. She saw it. She believed it. Away she went. Why? What did it do to her? It redeemed her. Now watch. He came to be a redeemer. Is that right? What does redeem mean? Bring back, buy back is what it really means. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. He had no representation. So, now we've done this before on different occasions. And what we'll do, if I can do this for you, without getting all tangled, we're going to start up here. As Brother Branham did for me one time, and I showed that he represented of God. Now, in him was all the with a great major attribute that he wanted was himself to become in the form of human flesh, which he wanted for himself. All these other things were in there too. So Brother Branham mentioned that from him, out of him, is this mic on where you people are getting me? You getting it up there from the speakers? You're not, because I've been battling all night long. And I don't like to fight. There's no need for it. And I'll scrap otherwise with even a baseball bat. But all right. If you're getting it now, that's better. But this way, you're not catching it on. You're not getting it properly. Okay. Now, in here, were you and everybody else, like we're saying. And now, God... Now, he calls it the Logos, which is fine because we know we're in him. But what we're looking at is this particular area here. Now, the Holy Spirit comes down through the Word. And of course, Jesus Christ being that Word, we'll put him down here. We'll make this Jesus. Now this then coming through here, and he's discerning. So what we got here is what I know Brother Branham had in mind with his blackboard. To give you the understanding, he said, now here is the priest right here. And this priest stood here, and this priest here, because he had no representation, he had a little seed down in here that's black. But he had all the intellectual understanding of the priesthood that was before him, and they taught the law of Moses, and he knew these things. He knew Messiah was to come. He understood the hope of Israel. And he said, if you don't have representation up there to begin with, see, coming down, down, down. Notice how representation in Christ, you go back through Christ every single time.
See? Now, see, what we'll do here is show you this. Her aspirations, now put it this way, her aspirations toward heaven here went this way and here. See? Showing that's exactly how it's to be done. Now, that's my understanding of what Brother Branham was saying here. I stand to be corrected, though I doubt very much if there's any correction to be done. All right. He said here at the bottom, page 22, he came to redeem that which had fallen, which was lost sheep. Now notice, had fallen. Shows from the very terminology, had fallen, a previous condition of unfallen. How could you be fallen in Christ? You'd have to get out of Christ. And then that part, which was in Christ, could not fall. See? Like Brother Branham said, you'll come a time when you realize you always were saved. You always had eternal life. You always were right with God. All right. The serpent had nothing to fall from. He's already down. Cain. Did he have something to fall from? I doubt very much. He couldn't. There's no repentance there. Nothing there. What about the priest? He couldn't fall either. That's why Jesus said, you generation of vipers, you're a bunch of serpent seed. All right. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. The girl got messed up in the fallen condition. But God had her in his thinking before the foundation of the world. And he had come to cleanse her. Now he said, then he knew he had eternal life. Whatever that means, I don't know. I think at that time he simply means then he knew at that time he had eternal life for her. And he presented. Or eternal life to redeem. And he was redeeming her. Now he said, where's the priest? What did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. Right down here. See, right down there. He had nothing to begin, only intellectual learning. Now there is your great battle. All right, let's go to the book of Jude. Pardon me. Three and four. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once for all delivered unto the saints. That's the original faith. For there are certain men crept in unaware, and they're doing it right now, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, they were spoken of that they would be here, but they were never in the thoughts of God for foreknowledge, election, predestination, and final redemption. They were not. They were spoken of. And there's a big difference. When God speaks to things and not speaks concerning you directly. See? Ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying, saying no to the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's identical to Peter. There's no difference in the sentiment. Now listen, friend, if the only thing you've got is just intellectual learning, you get something different from that. You'll never be able to get it unless you've got representation. Now notice I admire Brother Branham's honesty and his fearlessness. He said, you better get it. But he's telling you right there, you ain't going to get it unless you got representation. I like that. Most everybody thinks they got to preach the salvation in such a way that you don't use the whole Bible. You must ever preach to the sinner, hey, now look, there's such a thing maybe that you can't have it. Don't ever tell anybody that. Oh, no, no. Hogwash. Am I nicer than God? Jesus came to his generation of vipers. He said, you aren't with it, you're not going to get it. Were we supposed to do it? We're a bunch of stupid psychologists. Christ was spiritual. William Branham was spiritual. Had he been a psychologist, he'd have said, now, I'll just listen, folks. He'd have been more suave like Spurgeon was. On the outside of the door, whosoever will may come, but over the altar, elect foreknown of God. Well, that's pretty well telling it. But I tell you, the old hard shells had the truth. They went too far. I love Brother Branham. I admire his great honesty. You're not getting unless you got representation. That's the reason I believe, you notice what he said to the people, from the east, west, north, and south, the word living made manifest. In other words, they knew God was manifesting himself. The Word was living for the hour. The prophet was the living Word of God manifest. And these people were the same Word in their order manifested by coming to the Word and saying yes, like the little prostitute. Every one of us were prostitutes. There's no two ways about it. 103. Notice now how he makes his way known by his prophets in the beginning. He never changed it. The blank took place on the space there. That's a terrible, terrible thing to think that a man was given charge of the tapes who never had two machines ready to take the message. How much did he believe? Ask you, how much did he believe in spite of all his protestations? Nothing. They're a troublemaker ever since, let's face it. I'll tell you, but these are serious things, brother, sister. You understand this is making Bible history, this statement right here, blank on the tape. Think this, sit and think it over. How strong are you in your convictions tonight? Are you just sitting here listening? Or have you got a conviction of life and death? Are you still playing games and playing church? Little things this, little things that, little picky things. We're all pretty guilty. We better stop being guilty. That the board could give a man this job and him sit there and not turn that tape over, get that tape moving. I'm not speaking to me. It doesn't matter about me. I'd like to know it's here. You say, well, it's like the Bible, Brother Vale. It'll be someplace else. Yeah, it will be someplace else. That doesn't excuse it. There's too much of that going on. And is he justified him and sanctified and sent the Holy Ghost in fire and burned the sin out of him and dwelt in him himself? That could be a prophet. That could be every one of us. But remember, the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You and I do not get Jesus Christ himself. We get a portion. We get a life. The prophet could say he did because he said the great end time, how did he put it? I forget the exact word. But the great end time, tremendous thing when God was once more veiled in human flesh. God himself. Not the whole bride now. Although that's true. That is true. Everything that God wants by way of redemption will be in the bride as she comes up in her resurrection and will still go on. But when it comes to God himself in a person, God was in the prophets. And we do not understand it fully, but we accept it. And say, God was in the prophet. Not like you and me. No way, Satan, form. I don't need that for 1 minute. He does the earth that he's going to use in the plan of redemption the same way. In other words, he does to the earth, or what he does to the earth, is in the same way, which is the plan of redemption, like you and I go through. It repented and was baptized in water by Noah. Jesus came and sanctified it by dripping his blood upon it and claimed it. That's right, he bought it. And the new earth that's to come is to have a holy fire baptism, the kingdom of every devil, every germ, every sickness, everything there is, and make it anew. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. You become a new person, amen. Not just an old one passed up by joining a church or trying to turn a new page, but you are a complete brand new unit. Now, how are you a complete brand new unit? By building around the unit that was there from God. The original. If you didn't have that to begin with, I don't have it, it's not going to be there. Won't be there. It's got to be something from God. Needs original thinking. See? Now, by building around the original. That original seed. See? That you are. So the earth. The same thing. Takes the frame of the earth inside and just builds around it. Burns the old around. Changes. Like you and I change our lives. He changes that. And then, of course, the resurrection is completely changed. God takes the old man and burns him completely up with the Holy Ghost and fire and comes himself. Sends down your representation. No man can come to me except my Father's drawn him. And all the Father's given will come to me. You see it? Same plan, same way. Satan will be taken from the earth just exactly like Satan was taken from you. Satan contempt, but he cannot get a born-again Christian. In other words, he cannot entrap him. He cannot make him fall like he was before. For, again, he can't get a born-again Christian, for God from the foundation of the earth foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him, and the blood speaks for him. How can he sin when he it can't be seen even by God. See? The only thing he hears is your voice. He sees your representation. Amen, that is true. In other words, Brother Brown said, he doesn't see you and your sin. He only hears your voice. He sees you through the blood, and there's no sin whatsoever when he sees through the blood. And he sees it represented with your Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, he says in here, Satan can tempt you, but he can't get you back where you were. Let's go to 2 Peter that the legalists use. They talk about the second chapter of 3rd Hebrew, of 3rd Peter, 2nd Peter, the second chapter, you know, about these false prophets and all. Then it says in verse 22, their influence does this to the people they entrap. How's it take? Are we okay yet? No turnover? Or is it turnover? Okay. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, the thing is this. The dog will go back, and the sow will go back, but the sheep won't. Who ever heard of a dog becoming a sheep, or a sow becoming sheep? It's utterly ridiculous. They want to put the Bible together according to their own thinking, which to justify their means, to win an argument rather than have eternal life. I know many are sincere and all, that's true. But sincerity is not the answer. Truth is the answer. Now, he's telling us here that God doesn't even see us. He cannot see us or our sin if we should sin. He only hears our voice. He sees a representative, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Now that is, thus saith the Lord. And all legal mouths are shut, because this is a vindicated statement and is under the vindication theorem. Now hereby you must understand that this is very important to put this together tonight, and understand that this is part of the vindication theorem. You absolutely receive this and know this to be true. Now this will not cause you to say, well, I can do it and get away with it, because he doesn't even see it. Shows you never had in the first place. But this is your confidence that you have in him. So put that down as a vindication theorem. All right, now. By the same means, for the world is one of his attributes, just the same as you are one of his attributes, the world becomes, it was, and it becomes, to manifestation, one of his attributes, because it was God's thinking in the beginning to have a world, to be on a throne, to be a king, to be a redeemer, to be a healer. That's his attributes. Just like an attribute of you. All right. We have a true... We then... Brother Branham, from what he told us here, we then are a true type mirror of God and Son of God, for our attributes are the outworking of we ourselves, even as God and His and Himself. Now that's a tough one. But I wrote it down just exactly as I thought of it. Now, let me go over this again. By the same means, for the world is one of his attributes, just the same as you are one of his attributes. Now, the world was one of God's attributes. In other words, it was in God's thinking. So what did he do? He brought it to pass by his spoken word. It was a manifestation of God himself from the fact of what God exactly was. It had to be in there, or it couldn't have been. Okay. The world becomes one of his attributes, because it was God's thinking in the beginning, and it did, to have a world, to be on a throne, to be a king, to be a redeemer, to be a healer. That's his attributes, just like an attribute of you. Now, not saying we're attributes now, that that is true, but saying an attribute of you begins then to come forth into a manifestation, because it was there in order to manifest. Now, because we have an attribute in us, which really counts, which is an attribute of God, what is it going to do? It's going to do the same thing. So then, we are a true type mirror of God. In other words, we're mirroring God in our watered-down, trickle-down position, the same as God is sovereign God. So, then we are a true type mirror of God and Son of God, for our attributes are the outworking of we ourselves. What we're going to be in the resurrection, millennium, and New Jerusalem is already in there. And if it's in there, it's going to be an outworking of it. That's why you see here. Could never be that otherwise. That's why it's the way it is. So let me read it again. We then are a true type mirror of God and Son of God. For our attributes are the outworking of we ourselves, even as God and his attributes, and himself. Now you heard what I said, if I gave you the picture. Because it says right here, that's his attributes, just like an attribute of you. Now I take him to me what he said. I can't, now listen, let's watch some more now. I can't say a post, lest I think of a post. I can't say man, lest I think of a man. Then when I think of man, then say man. The thinking is my attribute, and the expression is the word. See, like Isaiah, how could he say that a virgin was going to conceive? What is the thought? Now, let's think of this. He said, I can't say post unless I think of a post. All right, fine dandy. Can't think of man unless I say man, unless I think of a man. In other words, it's got to be there in my thinking before I can say it. In other words, we think and then say. That is God. However, we work it backwards. We can think only because something is there that produces a thought. In other words, how can I think of a hud nut? There's no such thing as a hud nut. There has to be a hud nut to think of it. So before Brother Branham could think post, there'd have to have been a post there, or he couldn't have a thought of it. That's opposite to God. God doesn't work that way. See? Now, let's just try to work this where you can see what I'm driving at. There has to be something there before we can have a thought ourselves, which in turn we will express by word. So, vindication theorem. Brother Branham manifestly proved through his ministry what God wanted him to say. He himself could not say it. But the ministry gave him the proof that whatever God gave him, he could say, so that he was working in the same principle we're working from. It's got to be there before we can say it. Now, if it's there and he said it, and we saw it is there, then we say it. And now we're perfectly identified with God and his word. You see what I'm saying? Once more, and I'm trying to get us to vindicate a theorem. Now, see, I've been wanting to go to vindicate a theorem for a long time. And I thought maybe I'll preach this, and I'll come to where I can start a series. I don't have to start a series. We're getting it right here. Because this is the sermon that's needed to show you vindication. To show you vindicated theorem. Now let's keep reading. We'll go back again. Now, many of you wonder how that discernment comes. I'm going to tell you. See, it's a word that I say. It isn't my thinking because I don't know. In other words, he takes up his parable and he said, I won't tell you the words because I get them from God. The Hindu religion is trying to copy this with the mantra. I'm going to lead you plumb to hell. It's a word that I say and isn't in my thinking. Might be a word that's in tongues. I don't know. I don't know of the thinking of it. In other words, I didn't manufacture it. How can I tell you who you are and where you come from when I don't know you? Now watch right there. Brother Branham is not now working from something he knows whereby he can work. He now tells him something that he doesn't know at all. That's God. And it's proven because there it is. See, vice versa, if you're learning something in the world. You say, what's light? A kid knows light because the mother and father tell him. That's the moon. The parents say so. That's red because the parents say so. The child of himself does not know. He can only learn through the sensate manner. And because he's able to have a mind and a spirit and a soul, he can put some things together. But this is different. What Brother Branham is telling us. He said, I don't know. But he said, when I tell you, it is manifested, not that it is manifested because I say so, but it's already there and I know nothing about it. And when I tell you, and it is so, then that's it. And that's so explosive that everyone should turn to Christ and everybody get healed. And here is where we have lost out on vindicated theorem. Brother, sister, we're not sold. We're not sold. We got to be. See? I don't know what you're thinking of. How can I tell you who you are and where you come from when I don't know you? That's right. How can I say post if I don't know the post? Now, I got to know post before I can say post. I was chasing pillar to post. Now, I got to know what a pillar is. I never knew what a pillar is in that saying came up. What's a pillar? Tell me. Well, a pillar is a post, really, but it's a different kind of post. Oh, I see. I can talk about a pillar. I can't talk of anything unless there's something here to talk about. See? So this is God moving. It's in the spiritual world. The devil can do it too, but he doesn't do it this way. But people think the devil does it, so Brother Brown's the devil. Well, fine. I'm glad they think that because that means I'm right. I was a minority. Let the majority say anything you want. I'm not going to hell with it. I'm not going to cry crocodile tears. Be honest with you. Why should I? Sure, I feel sorry. Anybody would. But I'm not going to try to take a place above God. Don't think for 1 minute. See? Now, how can I tell you who you are and where you came from when I don't know you? How can I tell what you've done 10 years ago when I never, ever saw you in my life? How can I tell you where you live and what you'll do 10 years from now? How do I know the future? But it is somebody else's thought. See? But a thought must be spoken. See, here's the omniscient God now that predestinated the whole thing, as Brother Branham's ministry shows it. All right, 108. Let this mind be that was in Christ. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. See, then it isn't your thinking. It's His thinking through you, and you're not expressing your own words. You're expressing His words. Now, that's prophet telling about His under discernment. But you can hand that down to you and me. When you begin to say what Brother Branham said and express his thoughts, you're expressing the thoughts of God. When you begin to take, and I begin to take, the positive side against the negative. The confession is mentioned in Hebrews. Look at it right over here. The 10th chapter we read. And in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He's faithful to promise. Now that's in the face of the vindicated word based on a covenant. So you confess it. And we're trying to do that here. And we're going to keep doing it. That's how many times the brethren get confused of interpretation, tongues and things. He says up here now, you got to express somebody else's thinking, not your own. He said that's the only way it's going to be God's words, is Him putting your words right in you, the mind of Christ. And he said, then here's how many people get confused interpretation tongues. And see, they say things that aren't right, so they're not saying the mind of God. They don't realize that's Satan doing that. Do you say in the garden of God? Just wait till you get through. Find out if it is or not. Now, what's he talking about, the garden of God? Two trees. Anointed ones at the end time. The need for judging in the prayer room, even before something ever comes out. Discerning of spirits. Is the Spirit of God here? Is it not here? You think I'd trust that bunch of deaf Brother Branhams with their tongues and talking and all that stuff? Why, they came against the Word of God. You think I had any time for that kind of hogwash? A man have tongues interpreting the congregation? Oh, my, they spoke of one fellow. I forget. Well, I won't tell you where he is. Wouldn't be kind. Oh, they praised him to the sky. Oh, my, how. Every time this church order was right just then, I just stood back and watched. Now they haven't got a time for him. He's way off the Word, pitiful. Completely skunked up. Another guy, that same fellow down here in Jackson, Mississippi, the same thing. Well, I phoned him one time. He said, Brother, you got to quit doing that. Oh, you don't understand, Brother. I said, Brother, I do understand. You don't understand. Let me tell you again. I said, he'll fool you. You're going to pay a price. No man even give that man a second look today. He fostered the guy with the 8-inch picks, you know, playing guitar. Who in the name of common sense wants to play a guitar with 8-inch picks and bring anybody to God? The guy's stupid. Would you like that kind of a man in your pulpit? A lot of people would. Again, it's great. That's Pentecostal hogwash. Well, anything goes in this message. Not around here, it doesn't, bless God. You better stick to this word here. I'm not talking about a holy life now. I'm looking for a holy life I don't have. But this word will bring it, or I'm shot because I've got a clue. You look what you want. I'm telling you in this pulpit what I'm looking for. It's got to be God in His word doing it. He had a word in one age. The life went through for justification. And I tell you, poor old Luther, as much as I love him, and I know he's that messenger of God, and I respect him more than any man outside of Brother Branham. I tell you frankly, messengers, I think the world of him. And he said he's the one that Hitler literally quoted, you got to exterminate the Jews. He caused the peasants' rebellion. Many were killed. West, he came with the higher order of holiness. Pentecostal came with the greatest word to go. If what we've got is real, brother, sister, righteous will be righteous and filthy will be filthy, and we'll be on the righteous side. Yeah. Tell you, I'm standing on. You stand what you want, and I love you people. Respect you. I let my stand be here from this pulpit. The word did it each and every time the message. Let this message bring forth, or we know William Branham was of the big one. We've been fooled, skunked. It's got to bring forth. And it won't organize. I may be accused of it. Yeah? I'm cutting off preachers more than that big church over there. We better rent it half the time. For pad the seats. Put 20. I want crowds. I'm not looking for people coming in. That's only once on the weekend. Once a month, maybe. I'm not trying to win the world for Christ. Not for 1 minute. When all the souls I can, if souls are to be one, yes. And they're being one, too. They come here and they sit and they say, finally, this is the word of God. And we're winning souls. We're wise. We're doing the right thing. It's just there's not a lot of right stuff out there to work with. That's all. Let's face it. They've just gone down to the end of the barrel. That's how things got confused, he said here. They got their Satan made them say the wrong thing. Now listen, the weeds and the wheat grow in the same field. They both live by the same sun and the same rain. As the Holy Ghost comes in and anoints, the Spirit of God begins to move, and Satan moves right in, and the first thing, you got a bunch of folk, but Satan just takes over. They say the wrong things. They haven't got in them. Now listen, verse 110 paragraph. But if there be one among you, this who is a prophet, I, the Lord, speak to him, and if what he says happens, then that's me. Because he's not expressing his own thoughts. He's expressing my thoughts. My attributes are the things that have to come out. Use his mouth to express them by. After he said them, they've got to come to pass. See, that's a manifestation of the thought. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. See, it goes beyond gifts, right to the truth of the word. See, and he says, I can judge these people. They're wrong. Isaiah said to her, and shall conceive. That settles it. She's going to conceive. What God says he does, how he does it, that's his business. Home makes known by his prophets all his manifestations, because it's his attributes and his thoughts that's expressed. In other words, the manifestation starts. The manifestation actually is attributes expressed. And it starts with the thinking. And from the thinking, it goes to the power. From omniscience to omnipotence and watching. That's all there is to God. And I mean that in an offhand term. A basic explanation. God is omniscience and omnipotence. He is spirit. And he's Holy Spirit. And we'd never know Holy Spirit from a rotten spirit, except God had told us. And that's part of his omniscience. And he can do it, that's part of his omnipotence. So that's what you always see, is God moving in that area. Now, and we love him. Oh, make known by his prophets all of his manifestation, because it's his attributes and his thoughts expressed. Now it was in this little woman, she was one of his attributes. In other words, she's right up here to begin with. And watch her come on down through the human line. See, the human line, and Adam, and then the old servant, down, and here at the time of Israel, the day of Jesus Christ. And there was a priest representing the light. He had learned it from the Bible, no trouble. He had learned that God was God, sure thing. He'd learned that the holiness was right. He'd learned there was a law of God. He'd learned it because of an intellectual conception. And he was born of the right lineage. He was a Levite, but he only knew it by intellectual conception. When the light of the hour. See, he learned it by what had happened. Not what was happening, but what had happened. Moses seeing those. And when he found what was happening, his denomination said nothing about it. Therefore, he had no representation of it. But here was a Redeemer on earth at the time to redeem those attributes of God, and she received it. Now, then, at the time of Jesus, it was a priesthood. And today, there is no difference for the Levites from Levi. No difference from the Levites from Levi, Lutheran priests from Luther, and Wesleyans from Wesley. No difference. And Pentecost is the same way. It is ecclesiasticism. That's all it is. Now, Jesus made known the elect, who they were already. Let's read it again. Jesus made known the elect, who they were already, his own attributes, but only now made fresh and manifested. So is Brother Branham. So Jesus made known the elect, that they were the manifested attributes for that hour, manifest in flesh. So is William Branham. No problem. All right. 113. No, here. But there was no Redeemer on earth at that time to redeem those attributes of God, and she received it. No, but I beg your pardon. But here was a Redeemer on earth. Before there wasn't, but there was. And she saw that, and she received it. The same with Matthew 12 in this hour. She never questioned it. She said, when Messiah comes, he'll do this and that, said it. And she saw it done. So he said, I'm the Messiah. So that settled it. He could tell her that. Couldn't tell anybody else that. There's no more questions. She just went telling everybody, come see who I found. What about today? If she became one with the Word, then what about now? Same thing. God, you see, it's the same redemption. He's trying to tell us. It's going on now. And he's doing it the same way. And he's showing it to us. And there's nothing that's redeemable that isn't done this way. So it's one big happy experience to one big happy unit. And it's all to God. These processes make us clean. A temple for his dwelling place. Justification. Sanctification. Baptism, Holy Ghost, and fire. That does the cleansing of the temple. Now with that, notice what you got in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In 26. Now this is, here, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now watch. In order that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word to the end, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or any such thing, it should be holy and without blemish. Okay. Back to Revelation 22 again. And 10. See not the same prosper at the time of Ham. Just, filthy, filthy, so on. I come quickly, my reward is in command according to what you leave. And blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, men in through the gates into the city. There you are, same thing. The washing of the word, water of the word at the last day. Now, 115. So as the old world frame was not destroyed by the waters when it was washed off, the frame of the planet, the old frame, all the dirt, all the stuff that God put in the earth, was not destroyed when the first world was destroyed, and the Bible said it was destroyed. But it never destroyed the frame. It just destroyed the sin and the sinners that were on it. Good. The framework remained. Now, that's logical. But you see, it's justification. As you Baptists, Methodists want to think of it. Just justification, believing and being baptized, that's not enough. You'll wander right back in the things of the world, bob your hair, wear your shorts, everything else. See, there's nothing happening yet. You just look back and saw you'd done wrong. What did justification do to the world? Never did a thing to it. Started right off again, just as much as sin as it ever was. Now, that's very important to know that. That's the way a man does, and that's all the further he goes. That's the way the great evangelist Billy Graham ought to see. He said, I'd go and have 30,000 converts, come back in a year, and haven't got 30. That's all the farther they went. See, surely they repent. I believe they repent, most of them, or some at least, but that isn't what it takes. It proves it here. Now, so the old world framework was not destroyed by the water. The world only washed off. That got its baptism, was baptized. So will the framework remain, though it be burnt by fire. It doesn't destroy the earth, just destroys the sin that's on it. Alright? This strong and constant typing is not exactly typing, but really proving the complete process of redemption to the end, which is immortality, which is what we really want. So God is taking these steps here to bring us to the place of complete immortality, and so he's doing it with the world. And so that's what we want to see here. Now notice here, some of you Bible students, especially Brother Bill looking at me, notice, in Peter, in the 3rd chapter, he used the word world as the Greek word cosmos, which means the world order. The earth shall pass away, melt with elements with fervent heat. See, doesn't mean the earth, the planet, is going to pass away, but the world cosmos, the politics, sinners, the system, sin, disease, germs, everything's wrong, will pass away. Then you see, he shook the earth, then, this time to shake the heavens. No, it's everything that was, God once shook the heavens, but this time he said to shake the earth, heavens and earth also. He shook the earth, then this time he shaked heavens. In other words, the heavens are going to be on fire, but the Bible never said they're on fire at the time of the flood or when the blood dropped upon them. For we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, the eternal kingdom, watch how he does it. And that, of course, is said in Hebrews, the 12th chapter 25. We want to hear from God. Now, Brother Branham used the word cosmos there, which means an order. And if you go to the Bible, you'll find that there's two orders. One is God's order, and one is the order of the ungodly, the order of the godly, which is God's. God had an order in this universe, and has been despoiled by Satan and taken over and brought to a very bad place. So we're going to look here in 2 Peter. How much time we got? Got a bit? Okay, I don't have enough time to get this and quit. Well, look at 2 Peter here, the 2nd chapter, And we think it's verses 4 to 6. Yeah, for God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher righteous, and bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. See, the flood didn't do the damage to the world. No problem at all. It just busted loose the old order. Wiped the plumb out. Laid down a great big layer of silt. You can even see the mastodon. I suppose he was there at that time, under feet and feet of silt. They say that's the time he died, when the water came down causing that. It said the sudden release of water like that could cause freezing. Temperatures terribly unnatural. He was solid, frozen, flash freezing. Just even the green grass was in his mouth. They say they claim he even took a steak off of one and could eat it. That's a good deep freeze. Now it says here, you can see here that the earth was saved. He just got rid of everything on it, but let it all come back because it wasn't fire. Next time it's fire. It isn't going to come back. No way, shape, and form. Now, with that, now he said here, 6, with it, turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And you see the fire there, but even after that little fire, of course, we saw that they came back. So, what you're looking at here is that God is changing the order, and the regular disposition of that order to his own divine order that he wanted in the future. Now notice here, Peter said, it will melt with a fervent heat, and the works then be burnt up. Not the planet, the works. That's good. The works of man. All their politicians, their schemes, and their denomination, man-made schemes, with it will all go when it burns. Now that absolutely is Hebrews 12, 25. Now, the start of this great close-up, this great cleanup, is right at hand here, according to Daniel, the 2nd chapter. And 31 to 35, if I got it down right. And thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image, and this great image is brightness and excellence, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image had a head of fine gold, his breast, his arms of silver, and his belly, and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of iron, and part of clay. And thou sawest till a stone which was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were made of iron and clay, and break to pieces. Now, you know something? This is at the end time of the Roman Empire, at the time when an image is made with hands unto the beast. Everybody coming together and giving their hands and their minds to the Antichrist. Roman Catholic and Protestant churches combined. Now this one is not by that. This one is not made by hands. It's not a stone. It's cut. See? Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, and silver, and gold broken in pieces together and become like chaff of the summer threshing floors. Complete destruction of the world systems. And the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It's going on right now. They're breaking down the whole system. Fill the whole earth. Doesn't destroy it, annihilate it. Just gets the thing ready for the people of God to come back, and God himself to come down in the person of Lord Jesus Christ. Your brother Branham said, when that spirit of tenement becomes incarnate truth, we're crowned a king and king and lord of lords, and that will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Rose of Sharon, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the whole bit. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice there? Heavens will pass away with a great noise. Listen, the whole earth will be on fire and will ignite the gases that's in the earth and explode it exactly. That's as far as we'll go because that's good enough this time. We couldn't get any further. Now, try to remember some of the things I mentioned, which I wrote down here. And if you remember them, you're going to do better than I am. Because I don't remember them without my notes. But I want you to get the understanding that we're looking at the vindication theorem stronger than ever. We're looking at the fact that this has been proven. There is nothing left to prove. This is a divine order of God. Everything is crumbling. And if the world order is crumbling, then by the same principle, our own wrong thinking and everything we've had that's wrong is crumbling and is being burnt out at this moment. So that God can really live in us, as Brother Branham said, the real baptism with the Holy Ghost. The genuineness. I say, how's it being done? I'm telling you how it's being done. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe you got to do something. Maybe I got to do something. Maybe we got to chase each other around the block, squeal at each other, fight each other, battle, pray fast. Just ask you a question. How is it done back there? And how's it going to be done again? See, you got to realize this one thing. It was grace that did it to the elect, and the rest removed. Now we're in that hour today. And I don't look for anything other than what happened then. I can't see that my own volition has anything to do with it. Because my own volition has already spoken, I want this and I want it bad. And I don't know a thing I can do about it except believe. I've got to believe in the spite of, like Noah, in spite of everything that came to pass, they would say, well, nobody's believing you. It doesn't mean a thing. Long as you believe. I don't believe that Noah was the most sweetest, wonderful man in all the world. I don't even know that Enoch was. All I know is he walked with God. And my Bible said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing of all unrighteousness, and we stand here in that position today. So all I can say is take these things that Brother Branham laid out, and let us together try to understand them. Let us believe them with all of our hearts, and just stand here with this word. Because that's by having done all to stand. There'll come a time when you've done everything you can do, and you just got to stand there. It's just like dying, Brother Sitcher. The doctor's done all he can do. Everybody's done all they can do. All the prayers have been said, and you still got to lie there knowing that pretty soon your breath is gone, your heart stopped beating, and you're gone. Then you're right in God's hands. And you know what? You're in God's hands now. So that's the best I can tell you. Just keep reading and seeing what God gives us. The Lord bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the truth that you bring us through the message of the prophet, Lord. We only pray, my God, that it shall go deep down in our hearts by way of our mind, the spirit and the soul, and become a stone, Lord God, a stone in our hearts. A rigid, rigid stone, Lord, that everything in the principle of the life of Christ stands on and springs from. Like that rock, Lord, that Moses stood on that brought forth the living water. Bring it forth, Lord, as a rock in our soul of living water. And let the tree of life spread its fruits on either side. And let it come forth in manifestation, Lord, and a life that is blameless, and a body that is healed. Bless your people, Lord, we pray. I believe you have, Father, and I know you've given us something to take with us, O God. Let not the devil snatch it from it, Lord, we pray. Let nothing fall to the ground this evening, our living God, but let it rather bring forth eternal fruit in us, Lord, to manifest the divine attribute that we are of you. We pray this in faith in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
The name of Jesus with you.